We begin with Michael Rubin, and he is here to discuss his latest novel, Cashed Out, following the Cotton Crest Curse. That was the first one we talked to him about, three, four years ago?
2014.
3 years ago. So the Cotton Crest Curse, your father being the legendary Judge Alvin Rubin.
Well, thank you. He was a federal district court judge in New Orleans and then was on the U.S. Fifth Circuit for a number of years.
And you lived in Baton Rouge?
Lived in Baton Rouge originally, lived in London a while, lived in New Orleans.
And graduate of Amherst in the LSU Law Center, where he has taught as an adjunct professor for 40 years, has recently left that post, but you continue to write, and this is something that is obviously a labor of love.
I love writing, and what I want to do is to create a page-turning novel that has an underlying issue. I don't want to beat people over the head with the issue, but I want people to enjoy the novel, the murder mystery, the legal thriller, and have a lot of fun at the same time.
In your first novel, it received good plaudits, Cotton Crest Curse. It was the one I know you put a lot of work in. As any first novel, you were quite protective of it, and the end product, I think you liked a lot.
I loved it a lot, and it was great. In fact, it won a bunch of awards. It won the Book of the Year Award at the American Library Association as the top thriller and suspense novel. It's been translated into German. It's
very good.
For sale in Europe. It's got both an audiobook, an e-book, it's still selling well. And so now we have the Cotton Crest Curse, which comes out on August 15th.
Cashed Out.
Cashed Out comes out on August 15th.
As in tomorrow.
Tomorrow. National release.
National release, Cashed Out from Baton Rouge. And the premise is that holding $4 million in cash given to you by your murdered client makes you everyone's target.
Absolutely. The story is about a failed lawyer named Sheck Snyder, a good Louisiana name. He's got a failed marriage. He's lost two jobs. He's got three maxed out credit cards. And until 3 weeks before the book starts, he has no clients and no money. Well, no money at all, and no clients except for G.G. Guidry, a toxic waste entrepreneur, and Guidry's just been murdered, and no money except for the $4,452,737.17 in cash that Guidry left with him for safekeeping.
So Sheck careens from the swamps and the marshes of Louisiana's chemical corridor to the deep water oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico and goes on from there. He moves around quite a bit. This is something I would suspect that most lawyers don't encounter in their careers.
Most lawyers spend their life either doing transactional work or work in the courtroom. Sheck Snyder gets out, and he's pursuing others and being pursued at the same time.
Well, it's a suspense story, but you specialize in this, and I'm sure that through the years, as you were thinking about writing books, you probably had some inspiring authors who contributed to this odyssey that you're on right now.
I've been appearing on panels around the country at book talks with people like Scott Turow and Michael Conley and others, and it's been great to be on this. In fact, we start a book tour in 2 weeks. We'll be in Nashville, in New York, Irvine, California, Toronto. So I'm looking forward to talking about the book around the country.
Well, who inspired you? Who were your favorite novelists when you were growing up?
Well, there were three. The one was Ray Bradbury, and I had the pleasure of meeting him and visiting him at his house. Great guy.
Really?
Absolutely.
In David, Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles. A wonderful fellow. I love Dickens because Dickens wrote serials. You know, he wrote on a magazine format, and he had to produce a chapter every few months, and people kept waiting for the next one to come out. And the third, of course, is Sherlock Holmes. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote great novels about mysteries and solving them.
Well, this is more Sherlock Holmes than Ray Bradbury, but you caught me with that. You went to see him at his home.
Went to see him at his home in California, visited, had a wonderful afternoon. My wife and I visited with him. He regaled us with stories about how he wrote his books. You know, he also wrote the script for Moby Dick, the movie with Gregory Peck. He talked about that and working with John Huston.
Well, this book that you are now unveiling, Cashed Out, with these wonderful Louisiana characters, Sheck Snyder and G.G. Guidry, it definitely has a Louisiana allure, but as you say, it's something that you're actually pushing nationally. It's a story that has relevance for, I think, anybody.
Absolutely. And the reason it has relevance nationally is the underlying theme is the tension that every community has around the country and around the world between attracting good jobs with big industries that do not create environmental problems for either the workers or the local people. So how do you balance those two things? That's what this book is about.
Well, one failed marriage, two jobs lost, three maxed out credit cards, and Sheck Snyder was a failure as a lawyer. What do you think most attorneys would do if they were thrust into this situation? Would they take the path that Sheck's does?
Sheck's is morally ambivalent. He wants to do the right thing, but the problem is his financial straits leave him perhaps less moral than he thought he was until the end.
Until the end. But sometimes when people are pushed, they do things they otherwise would not, either good or bad. And in this case, Sheck's is put to the test, right?
He is. And in fact, one of the things that happens in this novel, the reason my wife and I wrote it the way we did, is that in every novel where there's a lawyer, he's asked to defend somebody who is ostensibly guilty, he says yes. In this case, his ex-wife is charged with the murder, and he refuses to defend her. And every time he says no, something worse happens.
You mentioned your wife, so you have a collaborator.
Absolutely. My wife and I write these novels together. We work on them as we walk in the morning. We walk early at 4:30 a.m. every morning, walk 2 or 3 miles. We walk out. We work out the characters and the plot, and then we write together.
You find that you do better work when you're moving, right?
We do better thinking when we're moving. We don't try to do a detailed outline of every chapter, but we know the beginning and middle and end before we start.
Well, what makes the Deep South such an inviting target for a mystery like this?
I think the Deep South is as much a character as any other character in our novel. In fact, it's unique in the sense that it's got a mixture of people, of cultures, and a clash that doesn't occur anywhere in the country between people who want to do good and people who need to do well.
Now, you're an accomplished pianist. For those unfamiliar, that's another element of Mike's life, and you've done this for a long time.
I started playing professionally at 16. Yes, I did. I played jazz piano in the French Quarter.
And you've written music.
I've written music, written orchestral pieces as well as jazz pieces.
So how is writing music compared to writing a novel?
Well, you know, it's writing jazz and working on a novel is the same, I think, thing in one respect. When you're playing a jazz song that everybody knows, you have a theme and a melody that everybody recognizes. But how you then expand upon it and interpret it and do your own thing becomes a unique gift. And that's what I try to do in my novels, is to create a gift to the reader of things that they didn't know hung on a story that they can identify with.
And the next Bayou Thriller series, the next installment, it's coming at some point. You're not stopping. You're not resting on your laurels.
No, we have two more manuscripts at our agents in New York right now. One is called Sanction, and one is called Inflamed, and both are set in the Deep South. And one of the interesting things about all the books is, although each is a standalone, they don't have a common character. All the characters, in one way or another, are descendants of those in the Cotton Crest Curse.
Mm-hmm. Best advice you've received as an author?
Best advice I received as an author is keep writing. You know, everybody, I think, has a novel in them, but some people can't get past the first page or the first chapter. You can't correct it till you finish it, so you have to finish it first.
How challenging is it to get printed?
It's tough these days. You can do self-printing, of course. There's lots of people who do that. Getting an agent, I think, is very important. And then the agent's work with publishers is also wonderful. It takes about a year from the time of signing the contract to get the book out.
Now, I see all kinds of nice words said about your latest work, Cashed Out, Michael, but occasionally in any artistic endeavor, there is criticism. How do you respond to that?
I think there are two things. Number one is, if the criticism is valid, then you want to correct it in your next novel. You want to at least deal with that. Luckily, we haven't had any, so all the stuff we've had has been great, and we've been very pleased about it. But the biggest critique I had when I was starting out as a writer of novels was show and don't tell. That's the hard thing to do, which is to not simply describe something, but make it come real through dialogue.
Well, there is an International Association of Crime Writers, and you're a member.
I'm a member of that.
How many members are there?
There are over 1,000.
Over 1,000?
Yeah.
Well, Justifiably so. The book is cashed out. You can read more about Sheck Snyder and G.G. Guidry following the well-received, and I'm understating it, the Cotton Crest curse from Michael Rubin, who's back in a big way. And we look forward to hearing from you again. And congratulations on Cashed Out.
Thank you.